This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the Wednesdays with Wes edition. Every Wednesday, me and Wes Reynolds chop it up. We look at some situational spots. Wes and I, without conferring on notes, tend to be on the same side a lot of the time. And both he and I, our first bet put into the VSiN picks page this week will be mentioned here on this podcast. But as always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Those reviews continuing to roll in, so I really appreciate that. Hopefully we continue to be in that top 200 iTunes market there. Tuesdays with Adam, Wednesdays with Wes, Thursdays with Matt Humans. But without further ado, you can follow him on social media at Wes Reynolds 1. He is a proud alum of the fifth-ranked Indiana Hoosiers. I just want to say it again, Wes Reynolds. The fifth-ranked by the College Football Playoff Committee, Indiana Hoosiers. Did you ever think you'd see the day?
Yeah, look, this is starting to get serious now, Tim. Now it's kind of fun, and now it's like getting serious here, where it's like, okay, you know, we're on the doorstep. I was seeing that the Hoosiers were minus $5 to make the playoff. So yeah, it is getting serious. And of course, a bye week this week for Indiana. They'll get the Buckeyes in Columbus next week, where last time they won there, by the way, in the old horseshoe was 1988 against the Buckeyes. That was the last time they actually won two in a row against them. So, you know, we'll see how this ends up. I think with Indiana, a lot of the discussion is, what can you do at Ohio State? And they're going to be less. I think the look ahead line was like 9.5. They're going to be less than, they're probably going to be single digits in terms of underdog. 10, I think, would be the peak. But I think if you play closer to the number, or maybe you lose by 10 to 14, you're not going to drop as precipitously as maybe some other teams, considering you're playing what is the number two team in the country on the road. But got to have the attitude that you can go win the game, but at least be competitive, because you can leave that doubt. And we've seen this committee punish teams for, you know, not so great losses. They certainly did that to Miami after they lost at Georgia Tech, but just don't get obliterated there. Don't lose by 30, because then they could say, well, you don't have that signature win and the best team you played, you know, mopped you all around the field. So, you know, that's what Indiana is going to have to deal with. And then they close with the bucket game against a really, really bad Purdue team. So you would think 11-1 minimum, be competitive if you in that one loss and you're going to be in the playoff.
I would agree with all of that. And, you know, continuing to have the Big 12 eat itself up, which I think is certainly possible this weekend regarding BYU, which we'll get into here and some of our situational spots. So I did look this up. As of right now, when you look at the field of 12, which does not include Alabama currently, or does include Alabama, but doesn't include Georgia, every team is 500 or better against the spread. The only team who has yet to, who has failed to reach market expectations 500 or better is Penn State, who, look, we could have a discussion for days on Penn State and whether or not they deserve to be ranked as highly as they are.
Yeah,
currently,
they're getting the benefit of the doubt, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And, you know, if it the committee has always told us, well, everything waffles with them. And I thought Ari Wasserman today on 3 had a really good column regarding Miami versus SMU. And basically it boiled down to, yeah, well, we just like Miami better. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. But I tend to think things usually work itself out. Now we've got more teams involved, so we'll see how that all plays out. But excited for you with your Indiana Hoosiers, and what a monster game. By the way, if you're listening to this early on Wednesday, a little programming note, Matt Grill of DraftKings Sportsbook will be on VSiN primetime at 8:30 Eastern, as we will take a look at those look-ahead lines, which of course will include Indiana and Ohio State, Notre Dame and Army as well. So some interesting games. Well, speaking of Ohio State, the team that, of course, your beloved Hoosiers play next week, this week they get to go to the friendly confines of Wrigley Field for yet another big noon game. They should just call it Big Noon Ohio State. They always play in this big noon slot. They'll be playing it again next week when they're in Columbus. So I like to look at letdown spots, look ahead spots. Northwestern is catching 28.5 at Wrigley Field. How are you looking at this one, Wes? The total in this one, let me just pull that up real quickly, is currently sitting at 44.5.
Ohio State is the official big noon team, and maybe that was the lack of enthusiasm on the call last week as they won 45-0 against, like I said, a really bad Purdue team. That doesn't get tiring to say that if you're an Indiana alum like me. But Ohio State, dominant, their defense, I think, has been terrific. The offense has been, you know, maybe not quite like peak Ohio State, but it's been good enough. And they're still one of the best teams in the country. I think, you know, when you're that highly ranked, you're going to kind of look to poke holes in this new playoff. You know, okay, like, what's wrong with these guys? I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with these guys. I think if there's anything wrong, it's what they have coming ahead. Of course, you mentioned this game being at Wrigley Field. Ohio State was here, actually, I believe, 2022, and it was pretty windy, and they won 21-7. They were laying 38, if you recall, a couple years ago. And you got this low total. Northwestern, not great, not deep in terms of talent. They're 4-5, so, you know, still not out of the realm of bowl eligibility. They're going to be 4-6, certainly, after this one, but... You know, this is a team that can slow the game down a little bit, and you're probably going to get some weather up there in Chicago, especially some wind there at Wrigley. So, you know, it's a really rare situation for Ohio State. It's like, dare I say that they're actually looking ahead to Indiana? The only way that they look ahead to Indiana is that they know Indiana's homecoming, you know, pretty much every single year. And that happens to not be the case this time around. So when in doubt, it used to be scheduled to Hoosiers for homecoming to get that easy win for all the alums returning. But I thought this number was a little high. I think anything above 4 touchdowns, I know it's dropped at least a little bit from the opener at around 30, but you've got Indiana in what is going to be a battle of top 5 teams. And then you've, of course, got the big game against Michigan. I know Michigan is down, but it's still Michigan. And Michigan's had Ryan Day's number, as he is being made aware of by the Buckeye faithful. So this just seems to me kind of like a get through it game, Tim. I don't think they drop if they don't blow these guys out by any stretch. And plus, knowing the big game for the next weekend, I don't, you know, if Ohio State wins by 14 or 17, they're not dropping, I think, from a number two. Or if they drop their number two to number three, they're still in that top four in terms of just pure rankings.
Yeah, I mean, they have one of the best wins in the country, and based off the committee's rankings, what, top three win, beating Penn State on the road by a touchdown, not giving up an offensive touchdown. So yeah, I don't think they have anything to worry about knowing what's ahead of them with Indiana and then Michigan. So certainly this is an ugly dog, but you and I like the pain sometimes. A couple weeks ago, you and I took the gross side of Air Force and had to sweat that one out, but got there against Army. So let's get to a late night game. And you and I, as we pull back the curtain a little bit, we're two ships passing in the night. I was wrapping up the VSiN Pro Football Tailgate Show on Sunday morning. You were coming in for Live Bet Sunday, and you and I just looked at each other, briefly chatted about the craziness that was BYU Utah. And then I don't know who first said it, but we both were in unison on, we're taking the points with Kansas. And later on Sunday, both into the VSiN.com/picks page, came in Kansas +3.5. It's down to 3. Some 2.5s are starting to show. You know, I'll let you kind of dive into this. I'll probably dive into it more tomorrow with humans. But you and I both like the Jayhawks here. Provo is always a weird place to go. Obviously a night game, but completely different expectations from this game versus the contest we saw BYU at home earlier in the year against the Sunflower Showdown other side in Kansas State.
BYU just keeps finding ways to somehow win. Had a couple questionable calls, especially that 4th and 10 on their own goal line, and a holding was called, gave them an automatic first down. So, of course, I think you and I are both in unison saying, how many breaks is this team going to get? and you know, worried about our +3s and 3.5s and everything else.
At least
there,
the pitchy woo-woo didn't screw
I know,
us over.
I know. Thank God the kid ran it up the middle, because when you go to the side, sometimes that gets dangerous. And on the other side, Kansas, who we were on last week, look, they were more dominant than the final score. Iowa State made it a little bit cosmetically more pleasing late, but Kansas had a 31-13 lead, had 532 yards of offense. Now the defense did give up 461, but Kansas, I think they're not as bad as 3-6. They are 0-5 in one score games this year. Of course, you know, losing to K-State, losing to Arizona State, losing to UNLV, losing to Illinois. The fifth one I'm drawing a blank on, but they have lost all these close games, or Arizona State, I should say. And I just think that this team's a little bit better than their record is. And I think BYU, I know this is a night game in Provo, but the market is kind of telling you that maybe either there's a belief in Kansas or a disbelief in BYU. And I think maybe it is a little bit of both. I know they got the number one pass defense in the country. They've been living off some turnovers this year, too. They're one of the top teams in turnover margin. I think they have 16 interceptions, which I don't know if it's still leading the country, but it's up there, I think, in the top five, at least for certain. So, you know, Kansas going to have to take care of the ball. Daniels is starting to play at least a little bit better, but I look at this, Tim, and I'm not convinced. And if BYU can shut me up again, then they can shut me up. But they're living, and it's very similar, I think, to what we saw with Miami at Georgia Tech, where you could see these two teams kind of have these teams have close games, you know, and that they're living a little bit on borrowed time. And don't you kind of feel that a little bit with BYU here, that they're living on borrowed time? And this is a Big 12 that's obviously very topsy-turvy. You were saying cannibalize each other. It's like a different team is the up-and-comer and the team to watch out for every week. A few weeks ago, it was Kansas State. Now it's Colorado. So I don't know. I think only one team is still getting in out of this conference, and it very well may be what be BYU, but I'm on the Kansas Jayhawks this week.
Yeah, you and me both. It's funny. You know, it's funny as you look back at years and seasons and you find out what games and teams you end up betting on or against the most. This is going to be the sixth time this year that I've bet a BYU game. I was on the right side with them taking on Kansas State, took the points there as they won that crazy game. I went against them the following week at BYU. I went against them with Oklahoma State, against them with UCF, and then against them with Utah. So I'm 3-2 so far on the Cougars. This will be the sixth time and fifth time I bet against them. I bet on them once. So, yeah, I mean, look, we've seen it before. Teams like this that live on the edge, have these close games. It reminds me a little bit of TCU, even though I think that TCU team was better. And look, they beat Michigan and got to the national championship. And then, fortunately, I made a whole lot of money betting against them in said national championship against Georgia. So let's get to the Georgia Bulldogs. You know, sometimes we have bet regrets on things we don't bet on, but sometimes we have bet reliefs. And last week, I didn't know what to do with Ole Miss Georgia. And ultimately, I stayed off. I think I said on this podcast or maybe with humans that I lean Georgia, but the number was kind of spooking me. And I'm glad I stayed the hell away from that thing. That was a dead wrong side. So sometimes you get a bit fortunate in that regard. But we've seen Georgia when their backs are against the wall on the road at Texas, everyone counting them out, and they went down and dominated. It looks like Nico Iamaleava is up in the air, his status, as he's in concussion protocol. The betting market would indicate that he's probably not going to play. Right now, Georgia, and I know you got a better number, and I saw it come into our VSiN picks page at around 9, Wes. They're out to a 10.5, 11-point favorite against Rocky Top here. This is a desperation spot. Georgia loses, they're done. What do you expect in this one on Saturday night in Athens?
I'm banking that Kirby Smart is going to be smarting from where they were ranked in the CFP rankings on Tuesday down there at 12. So not out of it, but kind of like, you know, one foot on a banana peel, shall we say. And Georgia, look, I was on Ole Miss last week, and it was just Carson Beck, you know, having not played very well. And we know the underdogs in the SEC have hit an amazing clip this year. But I'm part and parcel on Georgia because I think that, you know, you're going to get a big effort, that they're going to be angry and they're going to be motivated, not only off that loss, but the fact that's like, hey, we went on the road and beat Texas and we're not a college football playoff team. Like, come on now. So they've dominated Tennessee, too. They've won the last seven, 5-0 ATS in the last five. And Tennessee's offense, I know you look at the numbers and it's like, well, they're averaging a little less than 500 a game. But in SEC play, they've really gone downwards. I think a lot of that was inflated by the teams that they played early on in the non-conference. The defense has actually been carrying their team, to be honest with you, haven't allowed 20 in a game. But Nico, I would think, I'm not sure if he's going to be back or not. He sat in the second half of that win over Mississippi State where they didn't cover. And Tennessee has been having to run the ball a little bit more. They've been running Dylan Sampson, I think, a lot more. And I know this is a big number to lay against a good defense, but it seems as ridiculous as it sounds, Tim, to buy low on a double-digit favorite. When do you ever hear that? But I think for Georgia, this is the time here, and Carson Beck has got to take care of the football better, and he has not, and we know the interceptions have gone up, has not been taking care of the football. Lower total here, about 48, but yeah, I'm seeing this a little bit all over the place. As high as 11, I saw a couple 10s out there, mostly 10.5s. I think that's the consensus number. But even having gone up, I still think Georgia gets these guys by at least 2 touchdowns. I'm just not convinced with Tennessee. I think that they've been a little bit overvalued based on their record. They have not really beaten the hell out of anybody in SEC play. I know they won by 19 against Mississippi State, but that's a young Mississippi State team rebuilding, you know, young quarterback, first year head coach. So they haven't impressed me at all. I think they've been a little bit of a mirage, and I think Uga gets them big on Saturday night.
Well, another team that is in the college football playoff field right now and is working their way up, and who knows, they certainly could earn a first round bye, is Boise State. But for those who watched last Saturday night, it was not pretty. And there were some questionable calls that went their way. I think an interception was overturned against Nevada there. They're taking on San Jose State. I was on San Jose State last weekend as they beat Oregon State as a 3-point dog. And shouts to my guy, Ken Niumatalolo, bowl eligible as his first year as the head coach of San Jose State. And, you know, as crazy as this sounds, San Jose State loses their head coach, Brent Brennan, to Arizona, and they got a coaching upgrade in Ken Niumatalolo, 131st in Bill Conley's returning production, and they got to bowl eligibility. So shouts to the Spartans. Big win last week on the road up in Corvallis. Now they're catching 14 at home against Boise State. You can get a 13.5 depending on what side you want to be on here. My gut would tell me you're looking at the dog in this spot. I'm curious your angle on Boise State, San Jose State, Saturday night in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I am on Coach Ken this year, and Coach Ken has done a tremendous job. He has the offensive coordinator is actually Craig Stutzman, who was at Hawaii. His brother Billy Ray also played there. And they've been running the San Jose. They have some like option looks that Coach Ken brought with him from Navy, but this is mainly a passing team. And this is a team that runs, of course, Stutzman comes from that June Jones tree at Hawaii, a modified run and shoot. San Jose is actually averaging about 332 through the air, but Boise, really good pass rush, second in FBS, 39 sacks. But even Nevada, Tim, which is not a really great passing team, threw for 232 on him. And I was on the Wolfpack, and this was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. They actually had chances there at the end because Boise started to turn it over. They had 2 turnovers last week. We know that that San Jose, it's not really a big home field, but they're probably going to have a big crowd. Boise, of course, travels, but also it's like, hey, we're bowl eligible here in San Jose. And, starting to believe in Coach Ken. I just think that the pressure, and Boise State knows, you already have a loss here. And that was a good loss to Oregon. So it's not like it was a bad loss, but the group of 5 margin for error is so thin, I think, right now, Tim, that Boise State, who I feel like right now is in the driver's seat, but another loss, then all of a sudden maybe you bring Tulane or you bring an Army into play for that CFP berth. So I know that there's the urgency for Boise State to try to get margin here, but I think San Jose, I worry about Boise's pass defense, because if they can't get home with the pass rush that's been really good, you can hit explosive plays down the field on these guys through the air. And I think San Jose State will do enough to do just that.
the old spread and shred. And we loved having Coach Ken in studio over the summer, JVT and I on primetime. And I asked him, you guys running the option? And he just looks at me and goes, no.
they'll have like little looks where they do that in some of the short yardage situations. But yeah, this is the spread and tread, as you call it, the modified run and shoot, that June Jones tree. So yeah, it's kind of a culture shock to see, you know, much like it was with Navy this year, where they still run some triple option, but they run a lot of like different formations with their new offensive coordinator. So it was a little bit shocking to see at first glance.
Yeah, interesting note here. Navy plays Tulane this weekend. Big game for the G5 playoff implications, as Navy or Tulane has emerged now as the favorite, believe it or not, to win the American Athletic Conference. Navy 19-1 straight up on senior day. If you exclude the COVID season, they did lose to ECU a couple years ago, but covered the number. So Navy +7 against Tulane is certainly on my short list of looks for the week. All right, we'll wrap on this, Wes. Kansas State, a team that I'm still a little bit angry with Kansas State, because I bet them on this podcast to win the Big 12, and they go out promptly that weekend and lose as a double-digit favorite to Houston. Now they're laying 8 at home against Arizona State. It sounds like Cam Scadabo should be back for the Sun Devils. What do you make of this number? 8? 50.5 is the total. Arizona State at the Little Apple. Shouts to Stormy Bonatoni. This is a Stormy game, and she'll be on the sidelines there in Manhattan.
Yeah, and Cam, by the way, I think got ruled a probable earlier this morning as we record on Wednesday. So he's going to be back. I anticipated he was going to be back. ASU actually did miss him last week, despite the fact that they did win against UCF. UCF actually outgained him 406 to 260. Arizona State had a block punt return touchdown, a pick six. So now they get him back. Arizona State on the road, though, has been a little shaky. They lost to Texas Tech. They got blown out at Cincinnati. Now, that was with Jeff Sims starting at quarterback and not with Sam Levitt. So don't put way too much stock into that. But I go to Kansas State, Tim, and I know that they're not leading the conference, and I know they had a bad loss as almost two touchdown favorites at Houston a couple weeks ago, even though the Cougars are playing better. When I hate to use the term eye test, because like the selection committee for the NCAA tournament doesn't use eye test. But from the eye test, I think Kansas State is still the best team in the Big 12 this year, just from what I've watched in terms of how they run the ball with Giddens almost with 1,000 yards, the quarterback Johnson. And he's also made plays in the passing game. They're really good at, you know, kind of getting margin on teams. And they also did go into Boulder and beat CU and beat Colorado. It's kind of the flavor of the month outside of BYU in that Big 12 right now. Kansas State, Chris Kleeman, very good as a home favorite in conference play. 13-3 straight up and against the number. You've got Arizona State coming to the Midwest, where it's going to be a little cold, and in the Little Apple, potentially a little windy as well. Kenny Dillingham's done a really good job, but I think Arizona State's benefited actually from a pretty soft schedule, really. So Kansas State, the number did drop, by the way, from where it was earlier in the week. I'm looking, actually, this is all over the place now that I look at the screen here. There was a book that had it as low as 7.5 and a book that as high as had it at 9.5. But I think I laid 8.5, and I'm fine with that. It may not end up being the best of the number. It may only be off by like a half a point or a point. But I think this is get right for Kansas State off a bye, that bad loss at Houston. And I just think the Sun Devils a little bit overvalued. So I think K-State at least by 2 scores.
All right, there you go. Northwestern, Kansas, Georgia, Kansas State, and San Jose State. All right, before I let you run, Wes, and you can always follow Wes on Twitter, at WesReynolds1. I've been keeping tabs on this, and last week, not every book had Air Force and Georgia Tech as a double-digit dog, but there were enough out there to keep the trend alive. So if you include week zero, 12 weeks of college football, we've had a double-digit dog win outright every single week. The biggest dog last week was Georgia Tech. When you look at the board right now, you've got a San Jose State ticket in pocket. Is there a double-digit dog that you think is ripe to pull off the outright upset?
That would be one I would consider. It's not going to be the one that I'm going to use here, because I'm just looking up and down the board. Part of me was thinking BC, but I wonder if that quarterback, Grayson James, making his first start on the road. Castellanos, by the way, is transferred. He's in the portal. So, you know, SMU really tough to run on. Let me go with a little bit of an unconventional one here. There's a team that's very quietly 8-1 this year, that not getting a lot of talk because, of course, they're not officially in a conference, or if you want to call the Pac-2 a conference, but
we go fighting Bronco Mendenhalls here.
We might be, because Washington State, I think they're laying about 12.5. There's as high as 13 out there. This New Mexico team, they're not much defensively, if you've watched these guys, but Washington State can also be had. This New Mexico team, they can generate some explosive plays. Like, this is a team that's scoring 33 a game. Now they are giving up 38, but I think eighth nationally in yards per game, about 480 a game, and they can run the ball. They're a better running team than they are a passing team with that quarterback, Dampier. But Washington State can be a little bit leaky sometimes on defense. Now, they overwhelm Utah State, and that's been a bad team really this year. But, you know, San Diego State was able to move the ball on them. San Jose, remember that 54-52 game earlier this year? So it is kind of a big number for these guys to lay on the road, and they weren't able to get there against San Diego State, and I don't know if they get there against New Mexico. So New Mexico, I think, is still a try-hard team. They're 4-6, so they're on the outside looking in, I think, in bowl eligibility in the first year. But if they pull this upset, then they'll have to go to the islands to do just that. But different team this year for New Mexico. I think they've been far more competitive in these games, have actually been able to score. Like last year, they were in a lot of, like, where they were scoring 13 and 14. And it's like, that's just not enough in modern day college football. So New Mexico Lobos, I will go with them the outright underdog.
There we go. We'll see if the trend continues. I think a couple of teams that could come to mind: Arkansas at home against Texas, catching 13.5. And then, can you trust the boys up in Camp Randall to do it against Oregon, catching 14 as they jump around there against Oregon? Wes, always appreciate it, my friend. We'll be back next week doing the same thing. Best of luck this week. Hopefully we keep it rolling.
Yeah, you bet, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
There he is. Wednesdays with Wes, every Wednesday here on the feed, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Back tomorrow with Matt Eumanns to break down the full Week 12 card. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.